Last week we were looking at running the race with endurance. You know, we've been looking at this over the last few weeks, running the race. And I'll read to you our text verse, which is found in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And here it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, over the last few weeks we've studied and looked at this race. We've seen that there's a whole host of witnesses that are cheering us on. We saw that we need to run that race as lightly as possible. That means we lay aside every weight, everything which is going to hold us back, everything which is going to slow us down. We strip off, we lay it aside, so we can run effectively. It says, and then the sin which so easily ensnares us, or so easily besets us. You know, that sin has the habit of tripping us up. You know, it creeps up on us unawares and trips us up. Which is why we use the word that we've fallen. And when we've fallen, we need to come back to God. And, you know, sin does trip us up, and particularly the sin of unbelief. You know, that's one of the greatest, if I could say one of the greatest sins there is, that we don't believe what God says. You know, the sin of unbelief will trap us and trip us up. And then it says we've got to run the race with endurance. And that's what we began looking at last week, and we're going to finish that off this week as well. And verse 2 says that we should look unto Jesus. He's our focus. He's the one that we look into. He's the one at the end of the course, our finish, the finisher of our faith. So as we touched on last week, you know, endurance is not suffering or putting up with something. And a lot of people say that we've got to endure suffering, or we've got to endure pain, or we've got to endure these things. That's not what the Bible word endure means. It means patience. That means we have patience. That doesn't mean we just accept what comes our way. You know, patience is perseverance, or it's so keep going, consistent attitude. You know, we do something, we keep doing it. Because we know it's right, we do it. And that's what patience is. Now, endurance and patience, I'll use the word endurance or patience quite a few times, but I mean the same thing. And endurance is one of the key elements of faith. Without patience, our faith won't last. You know, faith does not go beyond the level of our patience. When our patience runs out, our faith runs out. You know what it's like when, in the natural, you know, you can be patient. Perhaps there's someone that's at work or something, and they're getting on your nerves a bit. You know, they keep on having a go because you're a Christian. Yeah, you can put up with it for a little bit, but if they keep on, a bit like a dripping, or even a dripping tap, you know, you can put up with it so well, and then all of a sudden your patience runs out and you have to do something about it. Either you go and turn the tap off, or you say something to the person. So, look, I don't mind you having a go at me, but you know, I'd rather you didn't do this, or I'd rather you didn't do that. You know, that's in the natural. And patience, when our patience runs out, when our faith is concerned, our faith soon is cut short. You know, patience or endurance is the companion force to faith. Somebody once put it like this, that they called them the power twins. If you want power, you need to have faith and patience. You know, if you want the works of God manifest in your life, you need faith and you need patience. And we're told here to run our race with endurance, or run our race with patience. We've got to run with patience, run with endurance. Yeah, faith doesn't go beyond our patience. And what we see from the scriptures is that faith is what we call it, is tested or tried. Our faith is tried. And one of the biggest things that tries our faith, you think, well, what could be the greatest thing that might try our faith? You think, well, perhaps fear, that might try our faith. No, fear doesn't try faith at all. You know, fear's the opposite to faith. One of the things that could try our faith is, we might think, not having our, or not seemingly having our prayers answered. Think, well, that doesn't really try our faith, no. The biggest thing that tries our faith is time. You know, time is, we're governed by it so many times. You know, all of our days are governed by time. You know, it's time to get up, and time to go to bed, time to go to work. You know, it's time to come to church. Everything's governed by time. You know, the hands, I said this on Sunday at the Chestnuts, you know, the hands on the watches and the clocks move round just a little bit, and you know, we have to leave the Chestnuts. We're only there for 30, 45 minutes, something like that. You know, time soon flies by. You know, you can even think about it. You know, we're in December now, 2 weeks before the end of the year, near enough. And you know, it doesn't seem that long ago since we were starting this year. You know, this year seems to just flown by. And you know, the clock just ticks. You know, time goes. You know, one of the biggest trials of our faith is time. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's not enough just for us to believe God. If we're believing God for loved ones that they come to know the Lord, or we're believing God for healing, or we're believing God for some other miracle in our life, or something else, we're looking to God for sort of needs that to be met. How long do we believe God for? How long should we believe God? How long should we trust Him? Well, the simple answer is this: we trust Him until we get it. Now, that might be a few days, it might be a few weeks, it might be a few years, but we keep on trusting. And it's that gap in between the moment we start trusting God for something and getting it, that's where our faith is tested. It's in that time frame between. So it's not enough just to believe God. We've got to believe God until we get it. Until we get what we are asking for. So how long should we trust God? Well, as long as it takes. Now, he's not here tonight, but Dad will tell you, I'm sure he'll tell you that, and you probably heard it, that God showed him something many years ago, something that's still yet to happen. Now, he's still believing God. He doesn't say it's not no longer valid. He still believes God's going to move, and if you listen to him long enough, you'll hear him talking about it, that the best is yet to come, and these things are going to happen. Well, God showed him that 40 or so years ago, back in the 60s, actually 50 years now, I think it is. But he's still waiting. Now, he hasn't been put off over the years. Now, a lot of people say, well, and they said it in the scriptures, you know, where's the promise of his coming? You know, where's the promise of his coming? When will God meet our need? How long have we got? We've got to wait until it happens. We mustn't be put off by time. Endurance means we don't quit, however long it takes. And that's what we've been looking at. We've been looking at this running the race. Now, this race it's talking about here, or what we understand of this race, is that it's not a short sprint. And this was said on Sunday, this race is a marathon. Now that means it's going to take time to run it. A marathon is 26 miles, 385 yards. And if we run the race, and we only run 26 miles, then we decide to quit. We haven't run the marathon, because there's still 385 yards to go. We've done all the hard bit. And that last 385 yards, you know, if we could just gone that little bit further, we would have finished the course. Now, some people drop out of the race early, you know, they don't make it halfway through the race. If you ever watched the London Marathon, I know it's very often it's being broadcast while we're in church on a Sunday morning, but if you ever seen it, you'll see people that, I mean, I'm not talking about the ones that are all geared up in their sort of space suits and everything else, and the giant teddy bears and things that they put on to run the race for charity, but, you know, you see the runners, those that run, they run, and some drop out, some get tired, some get a pain in their sort of legs or their sides, you know, they have what they call, in that sort of, you've probably heard this term, it's not just athletics, it's all sorts of sports, they call what they hit the wall. Now the one who hits the wall and can go through it is the person that's going to win. Many people, when they hit that, what they call the wall, they drop out. They can't go anymore, you know, they've just physically drained, they physically had it, they can't go on. But endurance goes on to the end. You know, patience doesn't quit. You know, we looked at it last week from Ephesians, and I think I said last week, it's slightly out of context. But it says that when we've done everything to stand, the very next word in the scriptures in Ephesians 6 verse 13, I believe it is, it says stand. So when you've done everything you can think of doing to keep on going, what you do next is keep going. You keep going. You keep on keeping on. Endurance means we don't quit. Now we're going to look at a man in the scriptures who had every opportunity to quit and give up. But he didn't. His name was Joseph. Now in the Psalms, in Psalm 105, it says of Joseph, this is verse 19, well, verse 17, Psalm 105, 17 says this. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. You know, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word, that's a good statement there. The word of the Lord tested him. You know, one of the modern translations, the Amplified, puts it like this. It says, until his word to his cruel brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. Now, we said about time tries our faith. Well, our faith is built on God's word. And God's word will test us. God's word will prove us. That tries our faith. Let's look at Joseph. What do we know about Joseph? Well, Joseph had, as a young lad, God gave him some dreams. And in these dreams he saw sheaves of corn. And he knew, he saw all these sheaves of corn, the 12 sheaves of corn, and they all bowed down to him. And then he saw other dreams, and the essence of them was all the same. You know, what the meaning of these dreams was that his family, his brothers, his mother, his father, they would bow down to him. And so he, a little bit foolishly, he went out and told all his brothers this dream. Oh, you're going to bow down to me. You know, this is what's happened. And his brothers resented him for it. And they said, well, we'll never bow down to you. You know, you're just the young boy, you know. If we're going to bow down to him, we'd be bow down to the eldest in the family, you know, not the youngest. We're not going to bow down to you. But you know, he held on to that dream for years, as we will see. And what actually happened was, because his brothers resented him so much, they decided, an opportunity came a few years later, that, well, we're going to get rid of Joseph. And they sold him as a slave into Egypt. Well, actually, they were all up for killing him. You know, they wanted to get him out of the way. You know, let's make sure this boy's dreams don't come to, you know, we'll kill him. And we'll tell our father that he was eaten by the wild beasts. But his elder brother was a little bit more merciful, and he sold him as a slave into Egypt. They made some money out of him. He went to work for a man who was quite high up in the army, Pharaoh's army. His name was Potiphar. And he worked for Potiphar, and no doubt he was still thinking about this dream. You know, how was it going to work out now that he was in Egypt? And, you know, everything he did in Potiphar's house was blessed because God was working with him and God was with him there. And then there came an occasion where Potiphar's wife wanted him to sort of get in the bed with her. And he refused, and she kept on all the time at him, you know, come and lie with me, come and lie with me. And he kept saying no. And on one occasion he was cleaning around the house, or cleaning around the bedroom, and she was in there. And she said it again, and she grabbed him. And he ran off, left his coat, left his jacket in the bedroom, and then she made up some story that he'd come in to try and rape her and all this business. So Potiphar had him put in prison. Now if you look at the scriptures, you'll see that he was in prison for about 2 years, maybe a little bit more than that. Though he'd almost been forgotten about in prison. And yet God was still working with him. Now I'm sure through all this time he still had this dream thinking, you know, how is God going to get this dream to come to pass? You know, his brothers coming and bowing down. You know, it was some time later, while he was in prison, he came across a baker and a butler that used to serve Pharaoh. One night, both the baker and the butler had dreams. And they put a lot of emphasis on dreams, particularly in the Old Testament. And you'll see a few people had dreams, and when they had a dream, they thought there was a specific reason for it, there was a meaning behind it. And so they thought, well, what does this dream mean that I've had? You know, and the Spirit of God on Joseph revealed to him what the dream was. So he said, look, he says, this is what's going to happen to you, the baker, and this is what's going to happen to you, the butler. And you know, what Joseph said came to pass. You know, what Joseph was quick to say, look, when you get out, when you're released from prison to the butler, he says, remember me. You know, remember, it was me that interpreted the dream for you. But the butler forgot him. The baker was executed, because that was the meaning of his dream. He was going to be executed. The butler was restored, and he went to work for Pharaoh. And what happened? He forgot about him. Until one night when Pharaoh himself had a dream. You know, Pharaoh wanted to know what the meaning of his dream was, so he called all his magicians and sorcerers and all those wise men of the land. No one could interpret the dream that he had. You know, and then the butler remembered Joseph. He said, when I was in prison, there was a man in there called Joseph. And he interpreted my dream. So Pharaoh said, well, go and get him. Bring him in. I want to speak to him. See if he understands my dream. And so Joseph's in the prison. And this man comes down into prison and says, is there somebody here called Joseph? You know, somebody here with that name. Joseph says, I'm Joseph. And he says, well, he says, the Pharaoh wants to see you. He says, the Pharaoh's had a dream. So Joseph goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells him his dream. And that day, Joseph, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, interprets the dream for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh thinks he's so wise, And in effect, he makes him the prime minister over the land of Egypt. So in one day, Joseph's gone from prison to the prime minister. He's gone from being a prisoner in the dungeon to the second in command over the whole land. You know what he predicted in the dream? That there would be a famine and that they needed to prepare and store up food. Now what actually happened a few years later, 7 years after that event, famine came to the land of Egypt. And people from all over the known world at that time came to Egypt to buy food, because Egypt was the only place that had food, because Joseph was wise. Joseph had the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God showed him what he needed to do to store up the food resources and make sure there was plenty of food for everybody to go around. And so these people came from all over the different countries to buy food from Egypt. And one of those parties that came were Joseph's brothers. And one of the first things they did when they got it, they bowed down to him. You know, Joseph's dream that he had when he was just a young lad, many, many years later, came to pass. Now time tried him. He went through being sold as a slave, being wrongly accused, being raised up as prime minister. You know, and there was a great lot of time between all of those events. And he could have had an opportunity at any point there to give up on what God had said. Yet he endured to the end. He kept believing. You know, the word of God came to him and tested him. And he passed the test. Now, we have the word of God in our race of faith. You know, God might say something to us. There are scriptures which say, like one of the scriptures we read tonight, where it said that whatsoever things we ask for when we pray, believing, if we believe, we receive, then we shall have them. Now God might say that he wants your family saved. You think, well, okay, I believe that God wants my family to be saved. And you start trusting, start praying, start... Now you might find 10, 20, 30 years might pass, but you've got to keep on. If you say, well, I started praying, and I prayed for them for a month, and then they didn't get saved. Well, God's words tested you, and you quit. You know, you didn't pass the test. Another thing it says is in the area of, the Bible talks about sort of giving or tithing. Say, well, I tried tithing, but it didn't work for me. I couldn't afford to do it. I didn't get blessed. Well, God's word tested, and you failed the test. I tried to believe God when I was sick for healing, but you know, I didn't get the healing. You didn't pass the test. You've got to keep on believing until you get what you're believing God for. I tried that faith stuff, but it didn't work. You know, what you find is the word of God tries and tests, and we've got to pass. We've got to make sure we pass. You don't try to do these things. You don't try to tithe, or you don't try to pray for your loved ones. You don't try to believe God for healing. You don't try to trust God for your needs. You do it. You trust God. You believe God. You pray for your loved ones. When you do it, you believe God's word. And then when it tries you, you keep on doing what you know to do. You keep trusting, you keep believing, you keep giving, you keep praying, you keep witnessing. You just keep on all the time. Just keep doing what you know to do. And you pass the test. Because he who endures to the end will be saved, the scripture says. Now one common mistake people make, and very often you get it quite a lot in church, is they think that trials and tribulations, all the problems are there to test them. And all the problems and the trials develop your faith. Well, they don't. What develops our faith is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, Romans tells us, and hearing by the word of God. And that develops our faith. Our faith needs to be used. We need to trust God. Trust what God says and believe him. Now, what trials and tribulations do is they develop our patience. Because they come upon us and think, well, I've got this problem now. And they're designed to make us quit on what God says. Once you start believing God for something, let's just go with the salvation of a loved one. If you're believing God for one of your family to get saved, you pray for them. What you'll actually probably find is that they'll start doing things and you think, God, I'm praying for them, but they seem to be getting worse and worse. They seem to be going further and further away from God. You know, they're slipping into that problem, they're doing this. They're designed to get you to quit praying. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to quit praying for them. Because he knows if you keep on, you persevere with your prayers for them, they haven't got a chance. They've got to come to know the Lord. They haven't got a chance if you keep on praying and you're believing God, because, you know, you're going to get what you're praying for. You know, somebody once said to, he got saved, and he went to see his brother, and his brother wasn't saved, he wasn't a Christian, and he says, you're going to get saved. He says, no, I'm not. He says, yes, you are. He says, because I'm praying for you. He says, no, I'm not getting saved. I'm never going to get saved. He says, yes, you are. He says, I'm praying for you. And every time this thing, he would see him, he says, I'm praying for you. You're going to get saved. He says, no, I'm not going to get saved. But what this man knew, he says, because he had a promise from God that whatsoever things, as we read, you ask for in prayer, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And that's one of that sort of scripture he would stand on. He's saying, well, I'm believing, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm expecting my brother to get saved. And, well, the short part of the story is that he got saved. Now, it didn't happen overnight. It was a few years. But every time he says, you're going to get saved because I'm believing God, I'm praying and believing God. He passed the test. You know, he got what he was asking for. But all those tribulations that come, you know, you think, oh, how can he do something like that? You know, they get into bother and you think, goodness, how can he ever be saved? You know, they're getting further and further into sin, or they're getting... Well, all that's just coming upon you to get you to quit. Like it, with healing, if you've got something wrong with your body, you say you're going to start believing God for healing, the pains will get worse. The symptoms will get worse. You think, I'm trusting God now, I feel worse than what I ever did. But it's trying to get you to quit. When you're praying God to meet your needs, and you find that you're getting worse and worse, and you're not getting any better, but the bills are piling up. They're just trying to get you to quit. But if you keep on believing, you get what you... Or you endure it, you win the race. You come through. But actually, what it says in the scriptures, in the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. Faith is going to be tested. You can have the trials. That's why he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because he knows that if you count it as joy, that's going to produce patience. That's going to produce endurance. And it says, let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, if you let patience run its course, have its perfect work, or you endure, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Faith, but the testing of your faith produces patience. And I've just got a couple of other things to look at, and I want us to go to the Romans chapter 5. Because here we see, in Romans 5, we see a progression. I think we're looking at endurance. We're looking at patience, you know, running with endurance, going the course, not quitting. Now, in Romans 5, I'll read from verse 1, but it's really verses 3, 4, and 5 I want us to look at. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That's what we just read in James. You know, that we count it all joy when we fall into various trials. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, or patience, or endurance. Tribulation produces patience. Tribulation, actually, in your Bible, it says work with patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That word work means to develop. Tribulation develops our patience. So when we fall into, when we have all these things come upon us, it's developing patience. You know, we're learning to trust God through it. Patience works experience, or develops experience or character. You know, when you learn to endure, you learn to have patience. Or don't forget, patience isn't that putting up with something, it's doing the same thing. Keeping on trusting. Keeping on doing what you know to do. Patience produces character. It produces something inside. Produces the real you. Character or experience produces hope. What is hope? Hope is joyful, confident expectation. Now hope is expecting God to bring us to the end. So when we've got patience, tribulation produces patience. Patience produces experience. That experience that we gain produces expectation. And what's it saying? The Bible says expectation. That hope does not disappoint. Why does that hope not disappoint? Because brings what we're believing God for. That brings us into the place where we receive what God has for us. That's a lovely little verse there, a little progression. Tribulations, we glory in tribulation. Not that we get excited because we've got problems, but we count it joy, knowing that the testing of our faith or the tribulation is going to produce patience in us. Patience will produce character, and character will produce hope. And that hope or that expectation doesn't disappoint, because we know that's what gets the answer to our prayers. Patience undergirds our faith and gives it endurance to persevere until the answer comes. Let's finish with one last verse found in the book of Galatians. Now this, in the book of Galatians here, you'll soon see as we read it, it's talking about sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this: do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now listen to these words in verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary. In other words, let's not quit while we're doing good, while we're believing God. Don't quit while you're trusting God, because in due season you're going to reap if you don't give up. If you don't lose heart, you don't grow faint, you don't get weary, you don't quit halfway through the race, you will reap. Look at those words there. It says, in due season you'll reap. Do you know when due season is? Well, it's later than you want it to be. It's later than you... We want it now. We always want... We want to pray and... You know, have the prayer answer before we've finished, before we've said amen. We want our needs met. We want our pains gone. We want our sort of loved ones saved before we've finished saying the prayer. But if we keep on, we don't quit, we will reap. In due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Time tries our faith. Now what we need to do is we need to have our minds renewed about time. I don't know whether you've thought about this, but when you were young, time seemed to drag by. You know, you think, well, when you're, I've heard young people say, looking at someone who's 20, think, wow, he's old. And then you get to your 20s and you think, well, 60s, a long way off. But when you get to sort of 60 and even 80, so, and even you'll see it now, time just seems to go by ever so quick. We've already said it, time flies by. Well, time actually isn't any different. Time is the same for an 80-year-old as it is for a 5-year-old. It's still 60 minutes in an hour, still 60 seconds every minute. You know, we still have the same number of hours every day, 24 hours. That doesn't change. The way you look at it changes. You know, when you were little and you're looking forward to the weekend, I don't know whether perhaps not wasn't for some of you, perhaps if you didn't have school in, perhaps it wasn't quite, not quite the same, but you'd go to, you think you've got to do all week at school before you can get a couple of days off. And it seems such a long time to go. It's like it at work, you know, you think, oh, it's a long time till the weekend, you know, and I'll get a break. Or in your case, really, you know, you don't get the break. But you think, oh, that's a long time till the weekend. But then when you get older, you think, well, where do these weeks go? You know, they're just flashing by week after week. But time doesn't change, just the way we look at it. And we've got, the Bible says we've got, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So God's not governed by time like we are. You know, one day to us is like 1,000 years to him. We think, well... You know, so when God says, wait a bit, you know, what is it in sort of the sense of eternity? How long... we're only on this earth for, what, a few years. We think we've got eternity to go. You know, what little lifespan that we have, then it's... Well, we think of it in the light of eternity... It's just like a flash, isn't it? But we've got to treat our trust in God like that. It might take us, time scale wise, a few months or even years before we see what we really want to see. But really, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a flash. We just got to endure to the end. Here's a little thought to wrap it up with. We can ask as big as we like. We can trust God for the biggest thing, but the bigger we ask God or the bigger things we're believing God for, we've got to be prepared to stand a long time for them. When we ask the Lord to forgive us our sins, it's instant. When we come to God, we say, Lord, forgive us. That's instant. But if we want God to... If we're trusting God for something... Let's just say something like a... £10 million, because God's put this thing on our heart and we need £10 million to... I don't know, perhaps God's given us a vision to build like a big orphanage or something where we can put hundreds and thousands of children into it. Now, God does call people to do things like that, and he says, well, you're going to need £10 million to actually build the building and get all the land that's in, do all the legal things. He said, wow. £10 million. But if we're going to ask for big things like that, we've got to be prepared to endure a long time. We've got to be patient. We've got to be prepared to stand a long time. Doesn't mean we have to. It means we've got to be prepared to. And what's the one mark of endurance? We read it in our verse in Hebrews 12. We've read it a couple of times tonight. The mark of endurance is this. What we've got to do is we've got to run with endurance, the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That's what we read in Hebrews. In James we read this. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. In Romans we said we glory in tribulations. The mark of endurance is joy. We've got to stay excited. We've got to stay joyful. Yes, faith is tried, but joy will bring us to the end of our faith. Stay excited, stay expectant like it was when we first... You know, when we first began praying for our loved ones, we're so joyful, so excited that they're going to come to know the Lord. Now as we progress in time and we think, well, look at them now, you know. Are they any nearer the Lord now than what they were when we first... Well, it may not appear to be, but they are. You know, the trials are coming, the tribulations are coming to try and get us to quit, but if we stay joyful, we stay expectant, we stay excited as we were when we first began praying, that's the mark of endurance. And that will bring us to the end of our faith. Peter puts it like this. We'll promise and we'll finish with this verse. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. And that's something we're going to look at in a few weeks' time. You know, talking about the end of our faith. It's all right having faith, it's all right running the race, but we've got to actually get to the finish line. And that's another subject, another night. Amen. Amen. Endurance. Keep on keeping on. When you think you've had enough, keep going.
Amen.
That's the secret. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray.
Thank you, Lord.